Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stone Chapel Podcast. Hope you are doing well. I'm David Capes. Tragedy has a way of bringing people together whose paths may not have crossed otherwise. That will be clear through the podcast today. Our conversation with Christian Brady, whose son Mac died tragically right before his 9th birthday. Parents should never have to bury their children. It's not natural. But unfortunately, it's all too common. That's the subject of a book by Christian, and it has been a great honor to have met him and his wife, Elizabeth. It's an even greater honor to share him with you today. So today, Beautiful and Terrible Things with Christian Brady on the Stone Chapel Podcast.
I'm Christian Brady, the T.W. Lewis Dean of the Lewis Honors College and Professor of Ancient Hebrew and Jewish Literature at the University of Kentucky.
Dr. Christian Brady. Christian, good to see you. Welcome to the Stone Chapel Podcast.
It is a privilege and honor to be with you. Thank you, David.
You know, my signature question, so who is Christian Brady? Let's start with that.
Well, oftentimes through my career as a scholar of rabbinic Judaism, the question has been, what's a nice Jewish boy like you doing with a name like Christian? So I'm a scholar of rabbinic Judaism. That's where my field has been. I am not Jewish. I am Christian, grew up in an evangelical household. I'm the husband of Elizabeth, the father of Izzy and Mac. I'm a scholar of biblical literature and also a minister in the Episcopal Church.
Wonderful. Well, we're grateful for you being a part of this. And that's got to be a little bit of a different road for you because you went to Wheaton College, but you probably didn't get all the rabbinic studies that you needed at Wheaton College, I don't imagine, but that you had to go on and do other studies elsewhere. In fact, you have been at our place in Oxford, Yarranton Manor, when it was the Oxford Center for Jewish Studies.
Absolutely. That was where my wife and I spent our first year of marriage. I was an undergraduate at Cornell University, did both a major in Near Eastern studies and in history, where I studied medieval history, went to Wheaton, and then went to Yarranton, did a graduate diploma in Jewish studies at the Oxford Center for Hebrew and Jewish Studies, which was housed at Yarranton at the time, and stayed and did my doctorate, working on something called Targum.
Well, today we're going to be talking about your book that I had a chance to pick up and read in the fall, and it's entitled Beautiful and Terrible Things, A Christian Struggle with Suffering, Grief, and Hope. And our friendship has been sort of initiated through Gary Rensburg, but also finds itself in a bit of a tragic circle, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of the people who listen to this podcast will remember that my son Daniel died 4 years ago of a very aggressive and rare form of cancer. But before that, you and your wife and family suffered the loss of your son. Tell us about Mac.
Mac was just a great little boy. He developed a passion early on for soccer, but in particular to be a goalkeeper, which is not something, in fact, the coaches usually don't want the little kids to be in the goal or any specific position until they're 11 or 12. He loved it. I mean, he wasn't the greatest student at that point. He was 8 years old. He was just 2 weeks shy of his 9th birthday when he passed away. He always had a smile. He was silly and fun and funny. He loved he and his sister, Izzy, who's 6 years older, loved to travel. We all traveled together often to conferences of biblical studies and things like that. So just a wonderful, vibrant kid who frankly never had a sick day in his life. And then just after Christmas, just before New Year's, we went sledding with his buddies. And the next day we called up to see about sledding again. And one of them had the flu. Later that day, Mac came down with the flu, or so we thought. And that's what the doctors thought and everybody else. And it turned out it was sepsis. It was a blood infection. And in about 30 hours, he was gone. So
he went from being
we'll talk more about understanding and coming to terms with all of that. But from that very first moment, Elizabeth and I, my wife and I, recognized the blessing we had had of almost nothing but health and joy all the way through, aside from those last few hours.
So he sounds like a remarkable boy. And because of the time that we're recording this, which is in the first part of 2024, a very hard anniversary's come up, the anniversary of his passing. How long has it been now?
11 years as of New Year's Eve. I mean, this is the blessing and the challenge, right? So Mac's birthday is in January, January 16th. He died New Year's Eve. And of course, then you have Thanksgiving before. So on the one hand, and we'll talk more about grieving and how we cope and how we understand it theologically, but personally as well. In some ways, it's kind of good is not the right word, but let's just say from about middle of November to the end of January, we're just heads down, moving through as best we can. And in some ways, that's kind of a blessing that it's just sort of in, it's concentrated in that period. But of course, the truth is anybody who has lost a parent or a child knows we think about them every day, right? We think about those who've left us every single day. I didn't even think about the fact it was New Year's Eve. And I called up the president, who was my boss, who had hired me at Penn State University at the time, and our son was being life flighted to Hershey Medical Center, part of Penn State. And I just, whatever we could do, can he help me make sure that Mac's being taken care of? As it happens, he died on the plane, but he was at a party. I didn't think about it until I heard it in the background. And so every New Year's Eve, we make sure to spend some time together as a family, but also to get out of ourselves a little bit. We went to the Kennedy Center this year. And so we find ways to grieve in a healthy and holy way. That's our goal.
Let's talk about the title here. I was fascinated by the title when I picked the book up, and I wondered where it came from. But then you read a little bit into the book and you realize, okay, that's where it comes from. So the title is called Beautiful and Terrible Things, A Christian Struggle with Suffering, Grief, and Hope. I should say it's published by Westminster John Knox Press. Where did that title come from, Christian, Beautiful and Terrible Things?
Yeah, I've got to give you a slightly longer story, Dave, if you don't mind.
Sure.
As a dean of an honors college, I give graduation speeches, medal ceremony speeches, and you know, you look for quotes. And I found this quote. I knew the name of Frederick Buechner from Daniel Amos, of all things, a group, Terry Scott Taylor.
Sure.
He had an album called Mr. Buechner's Dream, but I never read anything of Buechner's. And I saw this quote, here is the world, beautiful things, beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. Well, that's really beautiful and powerful, perfect for a sending out of students at graduation.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So as I was writing, it just kept coming back. Mac's life was full of beautiful and one terrible thing. Life around us is full of beautiful and terrible. Is there a better synopsis or summary of scripture? Here is the world, beautiful and terrible things. Well, so then I thought, well, I've got to look it up in context. I got to find it in context. And I'll read the full context here. But once I read it and realized Fred was just defining the grace of God, I laughed because I realized how many of the scholars who I had read using that in speeches who are irreligious at the best would be mortified if they knew what
they
knew
it.
Yeah. But then I read it, and as I'll read it to you, you can hear on some level, I thought, well, all you got to do is go reflect on this for about a month or three. You don't need the book. So this is what Frederick Buechner says. The grace of God means something like, here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's for you I created the universe. I love you.
Amazing. Buechner was a powerful writer, extremely powerful. And I'm moved every time I hear that now.
Yeah.
So was that the inspiration for the book? When did you know you had to write about this?
The inspiration really came within days, if not weeks, after Max dying. I've had a blog for years and years, a website, targuman.org. So I posted that Mac had died. And people said all sorts of wonderful and gracious things. One person I note in the book, also, after I wrote one saying the best boy in the world, challenged me and said, no, he wasn't. And you're being selfish. If you truly believe in Christ, if you truly believe in the afterlife, then you should be grateful that your son is not having to suffer in this world. Many people jumped to my defense in the comments.
Thank goodness.
And I said, look, I agree with this gentleman. I'm absolutely being selfish. I want my boy back. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know he's absolutely better off with Christ. So it began with all these well-intentioned and well-meaning, God needed an angel, or God has another angel. God needed Mac more than we needed him, and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
so,
you hear those
I
things.
Appreciate, gosh. Yeah. You know, an incredibly close friend, one of my oldest and dearest friends who is a hardcore Calvinist, I say with a smile, but made the trip to come and be with us and hugged me and held me and said, I know you know this, but God took Mac for a reason. We don't know why it is, but God took Mac for a reason, and it'll be okay. And I love that friend of mine. And I love all those people who hold to that. But I just don't think that's true theology. I don't think it's true teaching of Scripture. And more importantly, I have found a lot of people for whom that has hurt them and pushed them further away from the community of faith. I won't say it's pushed them necessarily further away from God, because God's more stronger and more important than that. But I was on a sabbatical before I wrote this as interim rector of a parish in Nashville, and ministered and met with, or I was ministered by, a number of families and couples who had lost loved ones themselves, many of whom were coming out of communities that were really rigid in this kind of, and I want to be careful with labels and terms, because I don't want to cast aspersions on any particular tradition, but those who really try and make that argument that God ordains every jot and tittle. And so when a loved one dies, it's because God took them for a reason, that God was active. Hmm. And many of those people had left other churches where they were being taught that, to come to that parish that was just more open about saying, we don't know. We don't know where all of this suffering and hurt comes from, but what we know is the presence of Christ, God being with us. So it went from being very early on a kind of more academic study of what does the Bible say about suffering, and I've got oodles of notes that got nowhere close to this book. I mean, there's a tremendous book by a scholar named Rambo that's like 900 and some pages on suffering, biblical and scriptural understandings of suffering. And I realized through my time at St. Bee's in Nashville, that was not going to minister to very many people.
A book like that. Yeah.
A book like that. And I wanted something that would really reach out and touch their hearts and provide comfort to people in grief.
And you do dialogue through a number of the passages in Lamentations and Psalms and Job and other of the books that really do wrestle with this. And I've taken consolation at times in the recognition that Israel's name is really about he who wrestles with God, right?
Exactly.
That in a sense, what this life is about is not about sort of enjoying the garden every day, but there are beautiful and terrible things that do happen in this life. And in Mac's case, it was one terrible thing. Right. And part of what my wife and I have talked about is how, you know, my son was 36 when he died, and that by and large, he had a healthy life too, and had a lot of good things. He had some hard things as well, you know, growing up and such. But by and large, the only bad thing that really happened was the worst thing, you know, this cancer that struck him and took his life. So we can sometimes freeze people in that moment. And I think that's part of the thing that we did at first, Christian, is that when these things happen, and we talked about earlier, this loop that replays in your head, that you think through these things over and over again, you analyze them over and over again. And then at some point you've got to get out of that, but by realizing, as you did early on, that Mac had all these great years and then one terrible thing, all these beautiful things and one terrible thing. And I found this book amazingly helpful. I really did as a parent who's lost a child, and I'm going to be recommending it to a lot of people. I think it is a terrific book because of the way that you lay things out. I appreciate the struggle because with you, I don't think everything that happens in this world is the will of God, right? That God planned things this way. That sometimes tragedies do happen, And that doesn't detract from God's sovereignty. You can still say at the end of the day, God is sovereign, but that doesn't mean that everything that happens is the will of God. Or else, why would Jesus say, pray every day that God's will would come, right? Mm-hmm. On earth as it is in heaven.
Absolutely. There's the section on sovereignty in there too. That's exactly right. And, you know, to give a sense of the framework of the book and the major goals, one is it's a lament. Nicholas Wolterstorff, brilliant philosopher, his son Christopher died in a climbing accident, and he published a Lament for a Son. And he talks about the kind of suffering that we have that just is, it's not God punishing us. It's not the result of sin, ours or somebody else's. It's not a lesson. It's what he calls the remainder. The remainder is actually the greater amount. And so what I've tried to shape and share in this book is, A, it is not only allowable to be angry at God, it's appropriate. It's divinely appointed. We have more than half of the lament, the Psalms or Psalms of Lament. Get it out. God's big enough that he can handle it, and we've got to get it out. We've got to work through it. So let's walk ourselves through lament and understand what biblical notion of lamentation consists of. And one of the very first thing it consists of is calling out God and saying, God, what on earth is going on? How could you let this happen? It ends with a recitation and an acknowledgement of all the great things that God has done in our lives and in the lives of his people, and that we will yet praise him. But then the book of Lamentations still ends going, yeah, but this really is horrible.
Yeah.
And giving ourselves permission. And then that's the other main thing I really wanted to get across to folks. And I love the fact that you know, bringing Israel's name into it. I totally missed the boat. That would have been a great theme to bring in the book.
Yeah.
That is the nature. And I think that's what the message of the Bible is not that we say God ordains absolutely every jot and tittle, every little thing that happens in life. Therefore, we must celebrate and rejoice every tragedy and so forth, but rather that we are still called to be appalled by the suffering and sin in this world. We are called to be appalled by the hurt, and we are called to be with those who mourn and with those who grieve. And as a mourner and as somebody grieving or somebody hungry and somebody thirsty, we're allowed to call out and say, this hurts. I need help. And so providing that space in that room, all while saying, this is founded and rooted in our faith and in the scripture that has been given to us by God. Because that's what really grieved me, was seeing how many folks were confronted by whatever that theology might have been that was not comforting them. And then they looked and said, then I guess I don't believe in God anymore. Mm-hmm. Or I don't believe in Christianity anymore, or what have you. So lament and all that entails, which includes being honest with God, being honest with ourselves, and allowing some elbow room to question, to wrestle. Job never got an answer other than I am God and I am here. So I hope that's some of what can come through. It's not just that beautiful and terrible things happen, but that latter part, I am with you. Nothing can separate us. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, lovely. Christian, thank you for being with us today. It's a terrific book. We're going to be talking about it again and again, I'm sure. And we're hopeful that the parents and loved ones of those who are hurting and grieving might find it and might find their way to lament well and to remember God's presence. God Amen. Bless you. Thank you so much.
And you. Thank you.
Hey, stand by for a nugget of wisdom from Christian at the very end of this podcast. Thank you to Christian for being with us on the Stone Chapel podcast. I know he listens to these podcasts, so thank you. His wife, Elizabeth, is working on a book dealing with her own journey through grief. I trust that when her book is out, that we will add her to our podcast library. Now, I hope that you never experience the loss of a child, but you will experience loss, grief, because this world is filled, as the saying goes, with beautiful and terrible things. Now, these podcasts are made possible by the Lanier Foundation. Thanks to Phil Keggy for our music. Thanks as well to Kathy Capes for editing these podcasts. But most of all, thank you for listening.
The way in which we remember and mark time is extremely important. The passage of one moment to the next, the sequence of time, that's how we live our lives. How we remember and mark those moments shape our memories and help us make our future. Remember well.